Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome. We are on Blog Talk Radio again. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yes, yes. So what's on your mind after the big deal the other day? What's going on?
Which big deal was this,
though? Oh, you don't even have a big deal. What is the big deal of today?
That's what I want to know.
Okay, I know Mother Dunning. What's the big deal today, Ms. Dunning?
Well, the big deal for me last night, me and my husband watched the debate. And y'all know I love watching the debate. And to me, I think it was a disaster because Trump did not answer really none of his questions. And to me, have y'all ever seen anything like this where a Republican, a man that's running for president, go and get, now this is me as a married woman, this is what I would call the women. He would go and get three of his whores, the president's whores, and bring them to the debate to try to embarrass the wife. To me, that was a disgrace because the wife can't help it what her husband do. And if she chooses to stay with her husband, what business it is of the next person to try to degrade her with bringing in three of his whores. As a married woman, I know all the women that's married, I know they are appalled by this because I know I will. So that was horrible for Donald Trump to bring in all them women last night to try to degrade Hillary Clinton, to try to make her feel bad for something her husband do, trying to deflect where he talking about grabbing somebody's pussy, talking about, these are his words, pussy, big tit, all like it is. He can grab their pussy, you don't take my word, listen at the tape. He can grab their pussy and get away with it. They're black men, look at a person, and they have been sent to prison. They're Donald Trump. Is on the wall talking about the five young men from New York City where he was, even he said if the evidence exonerates them, they still need to be punished. What kind of man who is this? I am appalled by it. And the whole world should be appalled by it, but they're not. You got a bunch of racism. That's what we should be talking about. As women, all of us women should be on board and be out ready to go and vote. I mean, as a woman, I will be.
No.
Because you're going to bring in and my husband's whore and try to embarrass me? So to me, I think that backfired because as a married woman, all the married women I talk to, they furious about it. And that's my take on a lot of debate. I mean, don't get me wrong. I agree with, like, talking about the issues that's really at hand. But to me, to bring in somebody else's horse to try to deflect what you have said and done, then you're going to say that even a person that can be cleared by DNA evidence, you still saying once the system has found them guilty, they're guilty? Okay, come on, y'all. Let's wake up. And then what appalled me, now, y'all may not like this, but what appalled me is a bunch of our black people get up and said they ain't going to vote. If you don't vote, don't you get up one time raising your voice and talking about nothing. You take your black behind somewhere and sit down if you don't go and voice your vote. You better get out of my face.
Can I say something?
You sure
Hello,
can.
Can I say something?
Hey, Brother Brown.
How you doing? First of all, let me say something. Hillary and Trump are the best of friends. Okay, if we as black people don't understand that by now, then we're the dumbasses. These people trade money together. These people have knocked everybody out so she can win. And what are we going to get from anything? And all of this, all this is a game. And we're playing right into the hands of white people. We should be upset for what we don't do for ourselves. Because at the end of the day, guess what? Hillary and Trump are gonna sit at the same table and laugh at all of us.
I have to agree with you. I tend to agree with that analogy of what's happening.
So getting upset over Trump, getting upset because of what he said, all of that is nothing but a game. What have we done in the 8 years that Obama has been president? What have we done as a people for ourselves? What progress have we made for ourselves? Not what Obama could do for you. What did you do for yourself in the last 8 years when you had a so-called black president in office? Can anybody answer that?
I most certainly can.
Tell me what you did.
I have tried to work and battle myself, but I must say
you was, Wait a minute. Hold on. You was working before Barack Obama got in office.
Say
correct?
It again, Brother Brown. I had a beep. I couldn't hear you.
You were working before Barack Obama ever ran for president.
That's correct.
What I'm trying to tell you is that in the last 8 years that we as black people have been walking around here talking about we got a black person in office, what progress have we made? We ain't made no more progress under Barack Obama than we did under Bill Clinton. So the game has been played on us. We the dumbasses. Because we have not did anything for ourselves.
Let me finish. I'm sorry.
Okay. We're sitting here upset over a white man talking about another white man. And we ain't even at the table. We can't sit at the table with none of these people and even have a piece of goddamn bread. But yet we're upset. We're the ones that don't catch on. We're still reading the slave master's Bible that he wrote for us to abide by and live by for the rest of our lives, telling us that we will get our rewards in heaven while he gets his on this earth. We're the ones that's dumbasses. We're the ones better wake up. See, ain't nothing wrong with white people. White people going to be white people as long as they be on this planet because they fighting for genetic survival. There's something wrong with us. I'm done.
Well, I feel like a lot of the black folks who ain't really trying to go to the table, the ones that really in power to try to do something, they're not going to the table. They are
tell me who's in power. Tell me who's in power to go to the table. Tell me one black person that's in power to change anything for black America.
I think if a lot of prominent black get up off of their behind and come together. The problem is we can't come together because this one don't like the way that one do. This is why. Because we're so divisive against each other. And that's the way the white man is playing us and we can't see him playing his hand.
But that's what, okay, then if that is the case, then why are we still upset about white people?
No, I'm not upset about white people. I'm upset about a man using whores out in the street coming
okay,
trying to see,
but then,
white.
Okay, well,
that's
what I'm trying to get
about.
You.
you taking
but
that
why,
and trying
why
to...
You, wait a minute. If the white people ain't mad at him, why should you be mad? If the white man ain't mad about what he said, how does that affect you? They
it
don't have anything to do.
It affects me as a woman. I don't want nobody up over me talking this away and degrading this away. I don't want nobody like that.
Okay, but you have to Okay, he's not over you.
But he's trying
that
to
man
be
only,
over the country.
That man don't even know you.
No, but he's trying to get over the country. And when he get over the country,
no,
I'm
then
gonna
I just
say,
tell you, then
means
I,
he's
wait a minute,
over
wait a
everybody.
Minute. Didn't I just tell you that is a game? That man can't win that presidency. He's not there to win it. That is a trick. Because we don't study and because we don't want to be taught, that is exactly how we are divisive, because we can't sit down and learn. This is not the first time these white people have done this in a presidential election. There has never been a president in this country that has did a damn thing for black people.
It also hasn't been a presidential election where the choices are the lesser of two evils. This is just a continuation of that. I'm almost 70 years old, and every presidential election I can remember, it's always the lesser of two evils. It's as simple as that. It is a game.
It
is a game.
It was designed that way for the simple reason that they had to copycat what they did in Great Britain. When they told us that lie about them having a revolutionary war, they never had a war. The war was for money and power.
It was
the
a family
Rothschild, right. The Rothschilds have backed every war on this planet for money. Read your history. Black people, don't get caught up in bullshit. We don't even know enough about our own self to be worried about a white man.
That's the main problem.
Yeah. Right. We don't even know where we come from.
Yeah,
we don't even know we don't know the origin of our own people. We don't know the origin of our own spirituality. We don't know enough about us to say a damn thing about white people. We got this man right here running about Donald Trump talking about kissing a woman in the mouth and putting her hand between his legs. Who cares? Unless he come and do that to my daughters or my granddaughters, then that's on me. But I don't care what he do to them white women. That don't reflect me. That has no reflection on my household. That has no reflection on my community. And if we as so-called black people who are so highly upset and so highly educated, then why don't we walk away from the shit that the white man has dumped on us for the last 600 or 400 years and come away from that? You want to show me some power? Walk out there with my white man's church and burn up his Bible. Show me what real power you got. You want to keep calling yourself that you're an African person? Then do that. Show me how much power you got to walk away from the mental enslavement of their European system.
Well, as long as we have to live in this system.
Don't believe that. You don't have to live by nothing, no rule that the Europeans put in front of you. Who makes you get up and go to church every Sunday morning? The Europeans
myself.
Told you. No. But why do you go? You go based upon what you were taught.
I like it, and I like serving God. And I don't think
right.
There's
nothing
wrong
that's
with
because,
me serving God.
Absolutely, because that is the God that the slave master gave you. All you got to do is research. Learn how to research whatever I say. Don't take my word for it. Learn it for yourself. Learn who your ancestors were. Learn what we had before we were slaves. Before we were slaves, before we were prisoners of war, because we weren't slaves. They declared war on Africa and went over there and took us and brought us over here. See, they don't tell that in the history book. War was declared on Africa after they kicked the Moors out of the Mediterranean region. And the Catholic Church should go over there and enslave them as prisoners of war. And when they took us as prisoners of war, put us in chains, then they took 3 to 4 months to get us over here to the Western Hemisphere. That's what happened.
And by the way, it was not a slave trade. There was no trading. It was a slave business.
That's right.
It was
right.
A business.
It wasn't no trade.
What were they going to trade African people in Africa? What were they going to give them, money? They didn't have any money. There was no
trade.
It was a business. It was a slave industry is what that was. It's
right. The only trade came between one European slave master to another European slave master. That's where the slave trade was. They traded slaves when they got to the Western Hemisphere. They captured Africans and enslaved them in chains as prisoners of war. The trade came once they got over here. One slave master said, well, I'll give you this slave and you give me that slave. That's where the trade came in at.
Well, let me ask y'all a question. Are y'all not going to vote, neither one of y'all?
Huh?
Like in the election, you and the other gentlemen that's on the line, are y'all not going to vote in the election?
I've been voting since 1972. You know who I vote for every year? I vote for Martin Luther King, and I vote for Malcolm X. And I'm still on the road. You know why? Because I have a right to write in the candidate of my choice. I have never voted for a white man since I've been voting, and I've been voting since 1972 when they gave the 18-year-old the right to vote.
Whether I vote or not, I don't think I'm going to vote this time around, but I don't necessarily think my voting is really changing anything. It's basically a symbolic gesture. That's how I look at voting. I don't vote saying, I'm going to put this guy in. I know he's going to do something for me. I don't look at it that way. That's unrealistic to look at it that way. You have to be crazy. You know, we have a so-called black president in office now, and they're shooting all people down in the street like beasts in the forest. So if he wasn't able to do anything about it, I don't know how anybody thinks a so-called white president is going to do anything about it. So if I vote or not, it's a symbolic gesture. I don't do it because I seem to think, oh, this is going to really do something and whatnot. You know, I voted for Barack Obama, like I said before, because I'll never get a chance to vote for a president that don't have a black man that don't have a slave name. You know, that's why I voted for him. I didn't necessarily think that he was going to change. He came in, we were going to have pork chop trees and watermelon plantations and all that good stuff. You know, I didn't vote for him because of that. And that's basically what I think about voting. It's as simple as that. But I tend to agree with a lot of stuff that the man said. I'm not that enamored about the voting, the ability to vote and whatnot. National politics are not as responsive to the needs of our people as they are on a local level. If you can control
if you can control
the mayor and all that stuff, you might have a chance. But as far as the national politics, the senators and the congressmen and the presidents and all that, they're picked. It's as simple as that. You know, they're not doing anything for people down on the grassroots because all of those people are representatives of the same class of people. They don't get up and go out to put a rag on their head and get out and go out to work like we do. They're not. They just don't. As far as all of that liberalism and conservatism, that stuff is irrelevant. It's not important. Both of those concepts have had a long history in this country, and neither one of them is either right or wrong. They want you to believe, well, being a liberal is wrong, well, being a conservative is wrong. None of that stuff matters. Those words don't mean anything now. They mean nothing.
At the end of the day, the liberals and the conservatives and the right and the left, they all sit at one table at one country club and had dinner while we getting shot down in the damn street.
Amen.
Every week, I told you all this over a year ago, when they had the Freddie Gray, when they had the Trayvon Martin, I said, that is not going to stop white people from killing us. The only thing that can stop white people from killing you is you stop them from killing yourself. There's a law on the book right now that was enacted in Virginia over 400 years ago and they brought the law back, and they're using it. It's called a casual killing act. When you kill a Negro in his correction, it will only be classified as a misdemeanor, and when you go to court, you will be exonerated of all charges. I've been telling y'all this over the radio for a whole year. Nobody believes me, so why should I keep talking?
By the way, I'm not trying to tell people that they shouldn't vote. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's an individual thing.
I mean, by all means, exercise your right to vote. That is your right. Exercise your right to vote. That is your right. But remember this. As long as you have been voting, if anybody can show me a change in Black America, I'm not talking about white folks there because they have a 700, they have a 500 year jump on us. Show me the change in Black America by you voting on a national level, okay? And then I would, even the Civil Rights Act that they passed in 64 and 68, even those two rights that they passed, who did they benefit? Come on, people, wake the hell up. Every Civil Rights Act they passed benefited white people because they progressed economically. We begged them to sit down in their restaurant. Come on now, come on. Let's think for a minute. We begged them to go to their places of business.
And you know what? That's the thing that I always just really think about. It says, why would I do business and I have to beg somebody to take my business? I don't get that line of thinking why we think we should do that. But also, Dr. King, as you have said oftentimes, Brother Brown, Dr. King actually said something about he you know, had made a mistake, and you have a video to that effect.
Yeah. I looked at it a little bit. He said, I led my people into a burning house. And nothing I can
right,
do
a burning
it.
House. And I would love for you to share that with me, and I'll get it right back to you if you only have one copy.
Well,
I'll get it
I mean,
right
I
back.
Have a,
it's on YouTube.
I'm gonna get some so I can. It's on
YouTube. It's on YouTube.
I got the
okay.
whole video. I got the whole video of his excerpts all the way up until the day before he died. I got all of it on video. And he said that integration was one of the biggest faults of his whole life, he said, because I have led my people into a burning house and I don't have anything that I can help them with. He knew after it happened that it was a trap, but it was nothing he could do about it. And when he came out and started speaking about the Vietnam War and letting people know that there was no equality, regardless of whether you was a liberal or conservative or whoever, then they put a bullet in his head and they killed him.
The main problem is that our people so desperately want to be a part of something that doesn't want
right.
them to be a part of it. It's as simple as that. We keep begging. It's like begging somebody to take your money. That's what
right.
it's like. Please take my money. Please take my money. That's exactly what
right.
we're doing. We are so enamored.
And we're still doing it.
We don't understand that we're not a Western people. Western
right.
civilization might be all we know, but we're not a Western people. There are plenty of groups of people living within the borders of this country that don't subscribe to, you know, what the mainstream society advocates. You got groups like the Mennonites and all them. They're living 200 years and 300 years, and just because they don't identify with the mainstream. They are Western people, but we can do the same thing. Ain't nobody telling anybody to leave, because I'll be very truthful. Right now, the way things look, if we had the opportunity to separate and do something, 99% of our people want to stay right here because they're so brainwashed and caught up in this whole system. They don't want to leave. They don't have no confidence in their own self. They have no understanding of identity. First of all, we have an identity problem. We're still trying to find out who we are and what we are and all that, and it's a very simple thing, who and what we are. But we have been educated here in the West, and they've lied and twisted and given us half-truths, and we've bought into it. particularly the educated classes of our people. We are bought into that, and that's one of the main problems. The main problem is that most of our people, look at what Hollywood gives us. All they give us is stuff about slavery. They just keep our minds on slavery, slavery, slavery. You never get anything about African history and culture before that. You don't get it in the schools and whatnot. The schools have our kids believing that we started off as slaves in America. They don't talk about before that, which is very, very important. That's the problem. We don't.
That's true.
I mean, all you got to do is turn on television, and everybody you see on TV is nothing more than a mimic of a Western European person or cultural dynamic, et cetera, et cetera. Just like most of the countries in Africa are nothing more than a carbon copy of the Western so-called democracies in Europe that used to control them and whatnot. And it's to say, this is a global thing. One more point I'll shut up is, our problem is not just an American problem. It's a global problem. The problem we have here, every country on this planet that has people of African ancestry has the same problem. Those people are treated the same way we're treated
problem.
Here. So what we need to do is, we've been globalized from day one. We need to look upon ourselves that way and not as Americans. We need to look upon ourselves as Africans living in America.
That's why
not African-Americans, American
right.
Africans. If you look under in a dictionary, under nationality, nationality is where you hold your citizenship. So that is our nationality, American, because we're citizens. But we ethnically, which is more important, we are Africans. Most of our people don't want to admit that. No, I ain't no African. They don't identify with that. That's the problem. One of our main problems.
We want to be everything but what we are. We try to identify with everything but who we are. See, when you have a misidentification of yourself, how can you talk about what white people are doing when you haven't even learned what you're supposed to be doing for you? See, the whole brainwashing thing is like this. I don't have to worry about a man's actions if I can control the way he thinks. See, I don't have to worry about I know how you're going to act because I already know how you think. As a man thinker, so shall you be. If I can control your mind, if I can keep your mind disillusioned that you would think you want to fight so hard to be included. You want to fight to be included in everything that this white man has built up. Everything. You want to go to his school. You want to go with his women. You want to go with his men. You want to sit at the table with him. I don't want to sit at the table with him. I don't give a shit about him. Excuse my language. But, you know, I mean, I'm kind of irate because we're so backwards thinking that we have to identify with them. Why not identify with yourself? I bet you're all
well,
right.
Because you don't know who we are.
Okay, well, it's time for us to learn.
And we've been ashamed of who we are with what the white system, power system, has told you you were. Like, you know, like you said, people don't even want to identify as being Africans. I'm not no African. Well, that's because of the brainwashing that was done. So how do we deprogram?
Okay, well,
how do you take...
Okay, right now there's
enough information. How are we going to talk ourselves out of this? How are we going to talk ourselves into the greatness that we are?
Well, you got to start somewhere. You start by learning the truth. If somebody presents
exactly.
the truth to you, if somebody presents the truth to you, are you willing to accept it?
It takes a while. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, it's not gonna come overnight. But in the acceptance of truth, you have to understand: have I been lied to? One of the most detrimental elements on this planet is post-slavery traumatization.
And now you're in my ballpark. That's what we got to talk about. And not only that, there was another level of it that came with this last wave of attacks on the black family. And until we deal with some of that stuff, and we got to start somewhere, like you said, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it now. On October 25th, 2017, we are going to have another Million Woman March. It is going to be the 20-year commemoration of the Million Woman March. Now, one strategy that I know of is to deal with some of the things that we're talking about now. And the planning has been going on. Of course, it's probably taken 20 years, as Dr. Fillet says, to get to this point. And so what I'm going to ask and invite the brothers to do is to help us to do that, help us to be able to get this happening, make sure that we're going to be protected as we do this march. But there's going to be a lot of information coming forth soon on that. One of the reasons I wanted to start our blog talk back up again is to get ideas and to help to mobilize some of the people that were really, really enthusiastic about doing something about the condition that we're in. And see if you can get some of the younger women around in your area educated about this, because one piece of it is a big historic piece about African women from antiquity to now. And if we could just get people thinking along our history, like Marvin, you're talking about where people are historically. So how can we get this information out to people and start educating our people and deprogramming our people and looking at what's going on with the black girl, woman, around all of the violence perpetrated throughout the world?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, and I'll say it again, you cannot separate the black man from the black woman, because when you do that, you're breaking up the family structure.
That's why we want to start talking all at the same round. There's a role. There is everything that's between us, the black man and the black woman, that relationship there. So how do we capture that? It's not about breaking up one or the other. That's why I'm saying we're inviting those brothers the same way that they were always invited and they're supposed to be a part of us, are a part of us. We are part of each other.
Well,
so
know,
how
my
do
question
we make this
you,
happen?
My question to you earlier was the same question I had about the Million Man March. When they had the Million Man March 20-some years ago, my question then is the same as now. What happened to the money? Okay, now, I'm one individual. I don't ask anybody to be on the same page that I'm on. I don't ask anybody to agree with me. But if you're going to take up millions and millions of dollars that was supposed to be earmarked to coming back to our communities, and the money ended up in somebody's pocket, I cannot support that, and I don't care what nobody thinks about me, because my thing is this: if it's community oriented and it's community supported, then they need to be community bound when it comes to separating that money.
Now, I agree with you totally. You won't get any argument out of me on that one, and there should have been a lot of things done. Go on.
But nothing was done.
I don't know I wasn't involved in the Million Man March to that extent. All I did was observe it. The men know because the men went there, so I don't know.
Nothing came back like it was supposed to come back. The money was split up among a certain group of people only. You're talking about garbage contractor bags full of money, millions of dollars
that were donated. See, everybody, because it was a Million Man Month, you had people to donate $1,000. Okay, you had people to fill them bags up with money continuously. You had money collected before the march even took place. My question is, when you have, my question is, with the Million Woman March or with the Million Man March, what has been in progress over 20 years? What did it produce? Show me some things that it produced on a community-oriented basis in all of the communities that participated, and then I will agree with you. But when you have a selected group of people who are going to be at the top, we're doing the same identical thing about being divisive toward these marches. I don't do marches.
So did you go to the second Million Man?
I didn't go to any of them because I don't have time to give my money away for foolishness.
Oh, okay. So you don't know you don't know if there were some things that were done with the money from the
one. I know this. I know the people that I have been connected with in various cities. Nothing ever came out of it. Baltimore. D.C.
Okay.
As a matter of fact,
I don't know, but I can tell you.
Let me
okay.
Go ahead. In D.C., it was a group of brothers. They were older than me, and we got together. We put some money to the nation. And what was the proposal was this: if you donated money to the nation. After the Million Man March, the nation was supposed to match your money and bring it back for you to start something in the community. We put together $10,000. So we asked the nation when we got ready to give the money, because we were going to start some drug programs in D.C. in 1995. We asked the nation how much they would give us back towards what we did based on what we scrambled up and got together. They told us there was no guarantee that they could give us anything back. So we asked for our money back, and they gave it to us. And we dropped out of it. See, because don't do nothing on the pretense of a falsehood. In Newport News, Virginia, they didn't give one dime to the organizing committee from the Nation of Islam in Newport News. They got not one dime back in the community. North of Virginia, they didn't get one dime. Matter of fact, they got a march right now in North of Virginia. They got holes in the roof and they had to put buckets in the floor to keep the rainwater from coming in. Okay, if you got a multi-million-dollar organization and you can get on YouTube with these beautiful temples with marble floors, why you can't take care of your own people?
Where were they going to get the money from to match it would be my question. Where would that money
be
coming from?
The money was donated. The money was donated.
Okay.
They raised money at the march. They raised money before the march. The money was never split up like it was supposed to be. Each organizing committee that had an organizing tool within the Nation of Islam organizing committee was supposed to get a certain percentage to do something in the community. It never happened.
Well, I think that showed great integrity that they gave you your money back if they told you they didn't know whether they'd be able to match it, your $10,000 you said you did get that back to me. To me, that shows a great level of integrity, because I can tell you of people personally that have gotten that or close to that, and they just walk away and say, and this was supposed to be loans and things, and so that was integrity, but you got it back.
Well, they didn't want no confrontation, because this happened before the march got started. And they were going to have massive confrontation.
But irregardless, what I'm saying,
sister, is that they did not want that confrontation to happen before the march, because it would have put a bad taste on a lot of people's mouth. So they'd rather give it back to you and let you walk away from the table. And that's what was said. We don't want no confrontation. We give your money back. We don't want no arguments out of it. We don't want no stuff. We don't want anything to be negative towards taking money. But my point is,
nothing happened after the money was donated. The money was donated at the march on the pretenses of coming back to the organizing committee. That's why people gave them trash bags for money.
Understood. But I know here in Minneapolis, the men of March are still working on different community projects. They did do some things here. I cannot recall all of them. I don't know if they got money for it or if they were just doing it, but I do know there were some community policing that came out of that from the Million Man March, and they have been meeting ever since then. I actually talked to one of the brothers not long ago, and so he said, I guess they just had the Justice or Else is what came out of the last Million Man March. I don't know what that means exactly.
And the other thing is the nation don't help nobody but the nation. The nation does not donate anything on the outside of helping themselves.
Okay, well, the Million Woman March is a little bit different, I think, than the Million Man March. When I went to the Million Woman March in 97, I did not get the impression that it was a, quote, nation activity. I got that it was what was called a women's march, totally nationally, and it was no Christianity or Islam or any of that attached to it. It was women marching. Now, on this one, the Million Woman March, 20-year commemoration, one of the title and the theme of it is Raising Up the Mother of Civilization.
Mm-hmm.
It's already proven that the African woman was first here, raising up the mother of civilization, and as I said, as a big historical piece all the way from antiquity to now that will be presented and all kinds of programs. And one of the actions that's going to be taken is already in the making is that we charge the United States with genocide at the United Nations level. I have to say that's more than what I have seen in the past. And so I'm going to support that. Oh, hi.
Hey, I'm going to open up her mic, please.
She's not showing up on the board. Did she dial the number in? Can you bring her in on yours? She's not showing up on this board here. I can't open the mic that's not here. So, oh, great. I'm glad she's on. Okay, and so at any rate, if that's what we're going to do, that's what we're going to do. And so I'm going to just invite the brothers, and we only have 2 minutes, so hurry up and bring her on because she must have some really great stuff. So if you could support us on that, brothers, we sure will be appreciating it. Okay. Any other thoughts on this one? Okay, did we lose everybody?
No, I'm still here. I mean, you know, I mean, I have no problem with marches. I just don't do them.
Understandably so. Maybe you could present some history or something like that. There's some place in there everybody does not march.
Hello?
Neither do I. Okay, you in, Shira?
Ashira?
Oh, well,